Welcome to the Five C's podcast. I'm your host, Charlene Norman, and this is where we talk all things clarity and collaboration for the community of climate change makers. We started a four-part series last week about transformation. Not the kind promised in weekend workshops or sold in business books, the kind that costs everything. The kind where you trade the designer suit for uncertainty, the corner office for exile, and the quarterly bonuses for a purpose you can't yet name. In our first episode, we talked about the gap in transformation stories, how the polished narratives from Pullman, Anderson, and Chouinard skip through the brutal middle part. You know, the depression, the exile, the years of climbing in the dark. Today, we begin filling that gap with the story of Ernesto Van Peeborg, an Argentinian I asked to be my guest. While he initially declined to be my in-person guest, he did respond to my constant badgering. He gave me permission to read what he wrote in September of 2025, a piece called How I Journeyed Through the Darkness of Collapse. And you can find Ernesto's details in the show notes. This is his story, in his words, precisely as he wrote it. I once sold investment strategies to the Goldman Sachs Partners Fund. For those who know the language of money, that phrase carries weight. A partner's fund is not the pension money, it's not the retail investors, it's the partner's own capital, the so-called smartest money in the world. The due diligence is ruthless, so merciless, that only a handful of investment pitches ever make it through the crucible to approval. I made it through. And then I became general partner in an AIG fund. And AIG back then, in the late 80s and the early 90s, under Hank Greenberg, was an empire. Insurance as global dominance, wielded not just in numbers, but in power. I was there invited to the tables where Greenberg and Henry Kissinger shared cigars and strategy. I dined in those rooms. I wore the uniform. The Armani suit, the red power tie, the suspenders of bulls and bears that were as much a badge of belonging as they were a noose. I thought I was filling myself. Status, power, access to the inner circle of capital. But as I became full of myself, I discovered a hollowing out. The more the world admired my skin, the more parasites it carried inside. It was like inhabiting a snake's body that had outgrown me. Tight, toxic, crawling with small infections of vanity and fear. To shed that skin, the snake must crawl into darkness alone. To push against rock and shadow until the old sheath tears. That was my descent, my dark place. From the outside, it was success. From the inside, it was collapse. The Armani stripes and the steel suspenders were strangling me into a body that was no longer my own, into a mindset that belonged not to life, but to a machine. I was managing multi-million dollar investments, and that meant more than numbers on a screen. It meant power. Power over men and women desperate for capital, over entrepreneurs whose futures bent to my yes or no. Sometimes it even meant power over whole industries. We financed what we desired, and in doing so, we reshaped landscapes. I remember overseeing the construction of the most modern cheese plant in Latin America, a decision that sent shockwaves through the dairy industry. Another day, it was buying the marketing rights for football clubs, placing our fingerprints on the passions of millions. My name was whispered in boardrooms, my presence courted in details. I was, in a way, a celebrity of capital. First-class flights, five-star hotels, marble offices that smelled of leather and excess. I was surfing the crest of neoliberalism's greatest wave, riding the tidal surges unleashed by KKR, which had begun at Kohlberg, Kravis, Roberts, a boutique experiment in financial engineering that soon moved to Drexel Burnham and later echoed throughout Goldman Sachs, swelled into the storm of leverage buyouts that came to define an era. I lived that storm firsthand at Citicorp Venture Cap in New York, where the pulse of Wall Street's new religion beat through every deal. We believed ourselves titans. It was the golden age of investment banking, and I, Armani stripes, suspenders taut, champagne glass in hand, believed I had mastered the tide. Only later will I learn the tide was mastering me. And when the machine tightened its grip, the Armani suit I wore so proudly began to feel like a toxic skin. The stripes, the suspenders, the rituals of power, what once conferred belonging now constricted me into someone I no longer recognized. Something broke inside, though I couldn't yet name it. So I did the only thing left. I stepped out of the system and into the unknown. Unaware of the inertia of power and control that still clung to me, and blind to my naive belief that the very tools and habits that had made me successful could also remake the world. I did not yet know I was entering a long, dark apprenticeship through uncertainty, exile, and the slow, painful work of shedding. And then came the feeling I could no longer deny. Not triumph, not applause, not even wealth could drown it out. It was the hollowing of my soul. I had been living as if accumulation were meaning, but what I felt was an emptiness that even the richest balance sheet could not fill. So I began to run, probably running away from myself. At first, through rainforests and mountains with Argentine spirit in the Echo Challenge, 300 miles across New Zealand, 2 hours of sleep per day, 22 hours of movement where human fragility outweighed even the fiercest terrain. But still, the hollow followed. And then came the desert. 7 days, 7 marathons, 250 kilometers across the Atacama, carrying everything I needed on my back. A marathon each day, and each day a stripping down of self. The desert's vast hollowness mirrored the hollowness within me. Out there, silence is absolute. Horizon unbroken. Sky merciless. And in that infinite emptiness, I recognized my own. By the end, I had shed a skin. Like the snake pressing through stone, I had torn off a sheath that no longer fit. I emerged with a raw new clarity, a sense-making capacity I had not known before, and a fragile, pure intention to discover my purpose. But what awaited me after the desert was darker still. Beyond the collapse of my own illusions lay the emptiness of a whole civilization's story. The void that opens when capitalism itself is no longer enough. What people rarely account for is that leaving the so-called comfort zone is not the hardest decision. We imagine it is, that to walk away from a corporate job, from the paycheck, from the title on the door, and the identity that comes with it, that's the ultimate leap. But in truth, it's only the first step. That corporate identity, constructed of possessions and position, it's a false sense of security. It feels solid, but it is a scaffolding around a hollow core. The real decision comes after, because most who leave simply build another box, the consultant box, the entrepreneur box, even the startup box, each dressed up in the language of freedom, yet bound by the same invisible walls. You may change the furniture, but you're still living in a room designed by the system you thought you escaped. What makes the difference is something far more radical. A willingness to let go. to sell your car not for another car, but to invest in discovering who you are. I sold mine, a beautiful Mini Cooper, a trophy of my years in investment banking and private equity. The cash lasted only a short while because here's the truth. If you haven't yet discovered who you are, there is no revenue. There is only burn. The money runs out fast and you are left with yourself. So I began to improvise. I built frameworks for well-being projects. I created knowledge pools for companies, offered connections, organized community building efforts. I tried to stitch purpose into the fabric of the old world. And while these attempts mattered, they also revealed something deeper. That this system cannot be healed by the same mindset that built it. When you really discover complexity, you realize you're not building a startup, you're building a system. And with that discovery comes a sobering truth. Reductionist approaches, no matter how clever, are futile without systemic capacity. As Einstein warned, you cannot fix a problem with the same mindset that created it. What is needed is not a shinier business model, not another startup dressed as salvation, but a change in how we see and approach the system itself. Only through holistic solutions aligned with the patterns and principles of life can we begin to move from extraction toward regeneration. And systems are infinitely more complex. They cannot be managed with the linear logic of business plans and market share. They require systemic thinking. They demand new cognitive tools, complexity theory, systems of governance, and an entirely different lens on what success means. They ask us to align with how life itself works, its patterns, its principles, its cycles. Sustainability is not a quarterly result. It is the ongoing vitality of the whole. The more I leaned into this, the more I understood. What was needed was not a new company, but a new mindset. A way of seeing that could work with processes instead of forcing outcomes. That could honor living systems instead of extracting from them. That realization was not the end of my struggle. It was the beginning of it. That realization was not the end of my struggle. It was the beginning of it. Let that sit for a moment. Because this is where most transformation stories say, and then I figured it out. I built a new company. I became successful again, but differently this time. That's not what happened to Ernesto, and it's probably not what will happen to you either. What happened next was darker, lonelier, more difficult than anything the Armani suit years had prepared him for. In our next episode, we descend into the vortex, the place where you realize individual escape isn't enough, where you see the multipolar traps we're all caught in, and where the real frontiers begins. The place where everyone is searching for money and you're trying to price the priceless. Until then, if you're standing at your own threshold, if you're feeling that the costume is getting tight, if you're wondering whether to shed your own skin, know this. What you're feeling is not weakness. It's the beginning of something necessary. We're all living with the unintended consequences of actions that we have taken over the last 100 or so years. And these days we shake our heads. How could we have been so stupid? So many of us want a do-over, and a do-over is nothing more than fantasy, isn't it? The only thing we can do now is a do-better. And that do-better absolutely must be in the highest good for all.